a blessing to be here. Enjoyed the Sunday school time and enjoyed your attention. Appreciate the good crowd that's come on in, and it's a blessing to be here, and always humbling to try to stand in place of your pastor. I'll never try to fill the shoes of your pastor. I'm happy to stand behind the pulpit and preach, but never try to fill the shoes of your pastor. He's special. Been a friend of mine for many years, and we talk about me and Brother Mark Wheeler have been friends for a long time. He and Nathan had been friends much longer than even that, but years ago we used to get together and pray, and God kind of knit our hearts together as young preachers during those years as we met and prayed, and God sat down with us, and Brother Nathan, your pastor, always hold a special place in my heart. And the Lord's let us serve together the last, I'd say the last 10 or so years or whatever. Outside the couple of years we didn't have camp, he always works at the camp, and we get to spend a week together serving there, and that's always a special time. And I love and appreciate your pastor and love his family, and always an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. I want you, if you will, take your Bible and turn with us to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 15. Judges chapter number 15. We're going to look a little bit at Samson this morning. And many of us here this morning, if we were students of God's Word for any length of time, and especially in Sunday school when I was a boy, my Sunday school teacher, who was Miss Janet Yarber, some of you know Brother Phil Yarber that pastors Grace Baptist Church in Cornelia, maybe some of you do, but his dear wife was my Sunday school teacher in those years, and she took that flannel graph there on the little table in Sunday school, and she used those little flannel graph pictures to bring some of these Bible stories alive to us children. And I think about those a lot as I read through some of these stories, and I see the pictures come off the page from those flannel graphs when I was a boy. And that might not have been what Samson looked like. That might not have been what the temple looked like that he destroyed. But as far as I was concerned as a little boy, that's exactly what it looked like. And in my mind, that's how I see it today. And I thank the Lord for Sunday school teachers that labored and that time that we spent was useful. And I'll say this, Sunday school teachers, you may think with the little ones you're not making an impact, but you are. And the foundation that was laid in my heart in those times before I got saved made it that much more believable and that much more simple to me when it came time when the Lord dealt with me and convicted me of my sin. I understood what I needed to do, and it was because somebody had invested time in me. So Sunday school teachers, don't quit. Don't give up. I want us to look here. I'm going to read. I typically don't read a full chapter, but I want to do that for context this morning. We're going to read the chapter 15 of Judges. We'll leak over a little bit into chapter 16 toward the end of the message here. But I want to read the full chapter of chapter 15 of Judges, and then we'll get into the message. So if you'll bear with me as I do that, and then we'll get into the message. But it came to pass, within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst of two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and brought and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Excuse me, trying not to sneeze here. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelled in the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson. Are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us? Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, that there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived, wherefore he called the name therefore in Hakor, which is in Lehi unto this day, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again. Another Sunday morning. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this church, body of believers that are here today. And we praise you for their attendance and their faithfulness to come to the house of God. I pray, Lord, you'll help me this morning to rightly divide your word. Give me wisdom, discernment. Lord, help me to bring out what I feel like you've shown me here in this scripture. And I pray, Lord, to be a help to somebody, an encouragement, Lord God, or conviction, whatever it might be, however you see fit. Use your word in a way in my feeble attempt, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as our brother said earlier, Lord, set me aside, Lord, and let it be all of you. And Lord, I pray that you'll move on the scene and bless today. We pray we need your help, Lord. Don't leave us to ourselves. We ask that you'd come by and be with us. We pray today. We pray these things in thy name to be thy will. Amen and amen. I want us to look at, I want to key in on a particular word here that you see a number of times within this scripture. I want to look at the word new, N-E-W, new. New, what you find in the scriptures, I guess you could liken it, if you look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, new is synonymous with the word fresh. Nobody want to go buy some old lettuce, right? But I want us to look at a few places where some new things got Samson in trouble. Some new things that got Samson in trouble. Not all new things are good. Not all new things are good. We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school, about some of the new ways and the new things that you see in our churches these days, and some of the new things that we face as believers, and some of the new pressures and new stresses and just all the things that comes along with some of the newness. Not all new things are good. We find a lot of newness in God's Word, where the old things are made new, the old man is made new, and when the Lord saves, and praise the Lord for that, His salvation and making us new. But I just can't get away in this scripture from the new things that Samson faced and that Samson dealt with that he brought upon himself. And I believe in some cases there was some seeking of some new things that put him in not such a good place. We know Samson was a Nazarite, and he had taken that Nazarite vow. And that Nazarite was to be separate and consecrated. As a child of God, if we're here this morning and we're saved by the grace of God, our desire should be to be separate and consecrated to God, centered on Him, that our walk is in such a way that that we're focused on pleasing Him more than anything. Now, the reality is our lives are so cumbered with so much, and we face so many pressures. It's a challenge. I'm not saying it's an easy thing. It's a challenge. But just like that Nazarite vow was to be separate and consecrated, when we're saved by the grace of God, we're making that testimony. We're making that testimony that we're separate and we're consecrated. I saw something this week that I thought was interesting. There was a gentleman that said that his son had been saved and was to be baptized. And the son wanted everybody that he come in contact with to come to his baptism. He said, I've been saved. And he said, I want the world to know that I've been saved. And he said, so his son created some little invitations and said he was giving them to the Walmart cashier. And he was giving them to everybody he come in contact with, telling them, wanting them to come. He was being baptized and he was making that testimony. He had been saved and he was making that testimony that he was becoming separate. And we know why we're baptized. We know baptism is an ordinance. And why we go through baptism, the importance of it. It's not like an infant baptism. It's when we're saved, we're baptized, we're making that testimony that we're dying to the old man and raised to the new, man. There's some new things that are good, but there's some new things in Samson's life that I believe he could have left off. And that in this Nazarite vow in Numbers chapter number 6, you'll see they would have no wine, no grape, nothing from the vine. They were not have any of, I guess you could say, some of the liquors or things that they may have created with those grapes in that time. He was not to cut his hair. Now, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what your belief is on long hair on men, but, you know, I don't believe God ordains that for sure. But in this time, in this Nazarite vow, that was his, one of the requirements was that he was to not cut his hair. And then he was also not go near anything dead, not touch anything dead. And we know the story. You know how he was when he touched that carcass of the lion and took the honey. And, you know, Brother Tim Gammons had preached a message at camp that still resonates with me around high-priced honey, how expensive that honey was and the price that he paid down the line. And so... we see a lot of lessons from Samson's life. But I want us to look at a few things today, some of the new things that Samson encountered. And I want us to see how that not all new things are good. And you say, and I've heard folks say, well, I'm looking for something new in my life. Well, you find a lot of times when you go looking for something new, a lot of times you might find a little more than you were looking for. And, you know, I think about if you really want to look at it, a lot of folks get themselves in some awful hard places with the new homes and the new vehicles. It's real easy to look at the new shiny, but think about what comes along with that. Think about what comes along with that. I think a lot of folks, as far as churches are concerned, are looking for something new, looking for some new life, looking for this, looking for that. And then they start, if they're not real careful, they start getting out of this Bible. And when they get out of this Bible, that the newness that comes outside of God's Word is newness you do not need. And Samson had a foundation. It was laid before him. And just like we have as Bible believers and those that are saved, and we've been many of us raised in church, many of us that's all we've known, And I praise the Lord. That's all I've known. I was in Mama, still says to this day, and Mama's not well mentally, and Mama's slipping bad. But she'll still say to this day, she said, "You were in church when you were 3 days old. You've been in church since you were 3 days old." And sure enough, I've been in church since I was 3 days old, and I praise the Lord for that. But it was not the fact that I was the fact that I was in church, but the gospel in me. And when I reached that point where the Lord dealt with me and I got saved, had I not been in church, that probably wouldn't have been the case. But you find a lot of folks looking for some newness, and you don't always find what you want in that newness. So I want us to look in verse number 8, first off, in verse number 15. And notice that he went to a new place. There it said, "And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam." Now I want to say this. Very rarely in the Scriptures do you ever find anybody going down that was good. The Lord, many times, when our Savior went to meet with His Father, He went up. And you may say, "Well, that's interesting. Maybe that's just where down was." Well, He went down. But I want us to notice in Etam, that rock Etam. If you look up what that rock or what Etam signifies, it's a place of birds of prey. Now, if you've ever been anywhere, and I don't know if you've ever come across, we actually had the opportunity last week. Some of the men, we've gone the last few years on an annual trip to pheasant hunt. And it's fun. And we just have a ball, and some of the men from the church, and just good time of fellowship. It's a real quick trip, and we're only gone about 3 days or so. And we hunt just a couple of days. But occasionally you'd come across where a dog would point, and we hunted with some really, really smart, well-trained Brittany Spaniels and German Shorthairs, beautiful dogs, really smart. Occasionally they would point and freeze, and you walk up and that bird wouldn't flush. And you'd kick, and then the guy would walk up there and pick up a headless bird. And what the hawks do out there, those birds of prey, they catch those pheasants, they peck the eyeballs out of them, they eat their head off, carry the head off, and that's all they do. And they leave those dead birds, headless dead birds, laying in the field. And one of them we walked up on, the bird was still warm. The hawk had probably just killed it. But that, knowing that Samson had made that Nazarite vow to not touch anything dead, didn't feel like the rock Etam would have been a good place for him to have been. Amen. A place of birds of prey. My guess is that rock Etam might have been a place where maybe the buzzards lit. It might have been a place where the birds of prey killed. It might have been a place where I kind of envision it as maybe a little bit of a dark place. Maybe a place that he didn't have any business being. And if you think about the things that you deal with, and maybe, I guess you could say, some of the vices maybe that you deal with in your life, or maybe some of the things from your past that you face, struggles you have, you know the places you don't need to be. You know when the Lord consecrates you and saves you and puts you on a new way, you know the friends you oughtn't to go back around. You know the dead places that you shouldn't go. And I believe that Samson knew probably that the rock Etam was not a place he ought to be. A place where dead things were. I'm here to tell you, if you find, as the dear brother testified, that when they found the church that they knew God wanted them to be in, that they found a place and stayed. That's what we ought to do as a child of God. You ought to be looking for something new. When the Lord checks it in your soul and the Lord tells you this is the place for you, not looking for something new. Just stay where the Lord puts you. The dear sister was telling me when she said her daddy was Barnett Crane, I said, I know Barnett Crane. She says, he was always in church, and I saw him all the time in church. I mentioned to my wife, she said, I hadn't thought of him in a long time. There's nobody around here that doesn't know but Barnett Crane. You know why? Because he stayed where God put him. And he was faithful. And you know what? Because of Barnett Crane's faithfulness, you're in church this morning. Saved. Hey, because somebody stayed faithful. Chose to not go the way of dead things. Chose to not go to a place they ought not to be. So we see first that he went down to that rock Etam. So he went somewhere that probably didn't make a whole lot of sense for somebody been separated and consecrated to even be. Notice in verse number 9, it says, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. Notice that even the Philistines had sense enough to go up. When you go up, there's a better vantage point. You know, there's a reason why these deer hunters get up in a deer stand and go up. They get up so you can see. And there's some advantage to being at a higher point so that you can see. That vantage point is better. Some of the men from our church had gone elk hunting, a couple of them. I think, every year. And they get on the high points and they look and they scan and they try to find. You can see more. You can see more. What do those wolves do? Somebody tell me about the wolves, how that they find them a vantage point, a high vantage point where they can survey. You can see more. But I want us to get on down now to verse number 13. I want you to notice there's some other newness that comes in Samson's life. And verse number 13, as as they were prepared to come upon him, and as the Philistines were prepared to come upon him, and it says, and they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Two new cords. If we're not real careful as a church or as a believer, as a child of God, the new things will be the very things that bind us. Those that came before us and those that blazed the trail before us. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, the martyrs. Those that went before us did the hard work, that stood when nobody else would stand, and that were faithful, and that stuck with the stuff and stayed in the Bible and blazed the trail. They weren't looking for anything new. They just did the same thing over and over and over again, and trusted God. Trusted God with what He'd give them, trusted God with the work He'd put them in, and said, we're just going to continue to do the same thing over and over again. I thought about, folks say, well, I'm just looking for a fresh... A lot of times you hear people saying, I'm just looking for a fresh start. Well, that fresh start started when the Lord saved you. And this society has been conditioned to always need something new. To always need something fresh. And listen, there's a lot to be said for focusing. And as we drift aside to refocus and you've heard preachers talk about that fresh anointing. Right? And that fresh touch from God. And yes, there's times when the Lord will bring a freshness and let the breezes of heaven blow through your soul. We ought to desire that. But you do not get that in a new way. You get that the same old way, which is right here. in the Scripture. And setting under the preaching of the Word of God and being faithful to the house of God, you get that the same old way. You don't get it a new way.
Amen.
And I think about in business, they're always talking about innovating and innovation. And a lot of companies fall behind because they fail to innovate. Dear brother was talking about worked in the chicken vaccine business. Those vaccines had to change over time, right? There was innovation that had to come. But you know what? It was still a vaccine. And even in the line of business that I'm in, when things change, it may be new things, but the concepts and the basics of business have not changed. Listen, there's a foundation. The foundation that we stand upon, we talked about in Sunday school, is this. It's the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. So here, we see that there were some new things that were binding him. But I'm thankful we find in verse number 14 that those new things did not bind the Lord. Notice what it said. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from off his hands. So the new things that bound Samson were not too much for the Lord. And I'm thankful that in times when I've made some not so good decisions, and when I've been bound by some of my own decisions, that the Lord has come by and said, I can still take care of this in spite of you. And I'm thankful that I have a Lord that is merciful enough that when I get myself in a tight and I find myself backed in a corner that I've backed myself into, you know, we used to talk about, you know, painting yourselves into a corner. I've seen plenty of people paint themselves in a corner and stand there and say, what do I do now? I guess I stand here until the paint dries. And it feels that way a lot of times, and I see a lot of folks, and I've done it myself. Is you watch and you see and you see them painting themselves into a corner, and you wonder when things are going to come crumbling down. And Samson was at a point to where he was in bondage. He had been bound by new cords. Now, no doubt Samson was strong. He was physically strong. But the only hope that he had was in the Lord. He's just like us. No matter how physically strong you are. I've seen a lot of very physically strong people that end up on their face. And they come crawling out by the grace of God. And God's, you know, that's the only way. But I'm thankful that the newness that was binding Samson was not too much for the Lord. You find a lot of folks seeking new doctrine. You find a lot of churches say, well, I'm seeking new music. I'm trying to find a new way to do things. I'm trying to be more relevant. There's nothing more relevant than the way God said do it. And you find that they're looking for new ways and new worship. A lot of them looking for a new word. They're looking for a new Bible. They say, well, I don't understand this one. Well, you know, if you're saved, you understood it enough to get saved. We don't need a new word. We don't need a new way. We don't need a new worship. We just need to go back to the old. What did Jeremiah 16:6? It says, walk ye in the old path. The path's been laid. We don't need a new path. We don't need a new way. We just need to stick with the stuff. So the newness that got him in trouble. I'm here to say too also, the new eventually wears off. And those looking for that instant gratification, something new, that new eventually wears off. Now, I'm thankful that that newness of the Lord never gets old. There's the newness of God never gets old, and it never wears out. Now, we may wear down, and we may allow Satan to wear us down, and we may tarnish it. But I'm telling you, that newness of God still shines just as pretty as it ever did. We may try to tarnish it, and we may not let that light shine like we should. But that newness of God, that sparkle, that God puts on one's life when He saves them, we may put a veil of sin over it, and we may try to put a veil of sin over it, but it still shines just as bright. It's still there, just waiting for us to do things the same old way and let God do what He's always done. But I'm thankful that the newness didn't bind God. I want you to notice down in verse number 15 as we move on. It said, "And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith." Now I've heard this, I'm going to be honest with you, I've heard the jawbone preached so many different ways. And no doubt if you've sat under preachers for any length of time, you've heard this jawbone preached about. I want to say here today that it says new. A new jawbone. Now, how many of you have ever come up on a deer carcass in the woods? Or an old maybe coyote kill or something like that? And that was old. And you can tell the bones had been there for a while. It's not very new. And those bones are brittle. They break easy. A lot of times they're gray and dark, so forth. But this said this was a new jawbone. I believe that probably came, potentially, from, could it have been maybe a donkey that had gotten sick and died? Or could it have been, I mean, he had just been there in the rock Etam, and they had just bound him. I don't know, but that very possible that might have been one that a bird of prey, or maybe the old buzzards had been on. And when was the last time you saw an old buzzard on a old bone pile? They don't light on those old bone piles. I was driving down the road the other day, an old buzzard trying to drag a possum out of the road before I got there. He wanted that possum bad. They're on the fresh kills. And he found that new jawbone, and a lot of times you hear it preached that he touched that carcass of a lion. I believe to get that new jawbone, and I promise you, I'm not trying to take God's word out of context. I promise you, and I'm not trying to add anything to it. But how else do you get a new jawbone from an old pile of bones? I believe he had to reach into probably what was a fresh, dead donkey to get that new jawbone. So what did he do? He broke another vow. He touched a dead body. And how else do you get a jawbone from a dead donkey but that you were where dead things were? How else do you find the dead things but that you're where the dead things were? As a body of believers and as a Christian and as a child of God, stay away from where the dead things are. There, when you go seeking the newness, you're going to find a lot of deadness. Because I'm telling you, where the children of God are, where the Spirit of God is where the old ways being followed. If you don't believe me, go sit down with a dear man of God who's preached the Word of God for years and sit down and listen to him talk about the Spirit of God and how the Lord helps him and encourages him. Stick with the old stuff. Don't go where the new dead things are. I wonder what the stench was like there. I wonder what it smelt like there. The deadness that was there. I want you to notice here that, as we said, he touched what he was not supposed to. We talked about how could it be a new jawbone if he didn't touch what was dead and fresh. But I'm here to tell you this morning, new equals dead. New equals dead. If you don't believe me, if you've been saved, you've been in the house of God, you've felt the Spirit of God move, you know what it feels like, you know what it's like, go find somebody trying to do something new. Go try to find you a new way. Go try to find a new way. you'll feel how just how dead it is. It equals deadness. Deadness. You know, I've listened to some. I've got some friends that, you know, they feel like it, that the new way's better. And you listen to them talk, and I'm just kind of look at them like a calf at a new gate. You just don't get it. So he had that jawbone of an ass, and I want us to notice that new ways lead to men taking credit for what God's done. I want you to notice in verse number 16 what he said. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Have I slain 1,000 men. Sounds a little bit like he had an awful lot to say about what he did. And you know, I'm not calling names. I could call names, but I think of a number of ministries where it's an awful lot about that figurehead. It's an awful lot about the one that stands behind that desk, behind the pulpit. And I think about those ministries where there's an individual's name attached to a ministry. And it's like that ministry is more about them than it is about God. And it's I, and me. I want to sit under the preaching of somebody that makes much about God and less about them. Much about God. As a child of God, it ought to be much about Him and none of us. So what did this new jawbone and what Samson had done, power of God come upon him. He put his hand on really something he shouldn't have even touched. And he used that strength that God had given him and he slayed with it. And then the very next verse he says, I slain 1,000 men. What does that newness do? It'll lead to us taking the credit for what God's done. Notice in verse number 17, he said, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. I can just see him just tossing it aside. I can see him as if, look what I did. You know, I think about you've seen the ball players, the baseball players, they take a base, they hit that home run, they'll stand there and they just flip that bat aside and run around those bases. Look what I did. And listen, I like to watch football as well, Georgia football, as well as anybody. And I'll confess, I did watch that ball game last night, and yes, I did enjoy most of it, watching them win. But there's a certain amount of arrogancy that comes with that individual contributing. And look what I did. And it does encourage me when I hear them give God glory, and sometimes you'll hear them when they interview them, they say, first of all, I want to give God glory for giving me the ability to do this. I admire them for that. I appreciate that. But it's almost like Samson was throwing that baseball bat aside and said, look what I did. Look what I found. Look what I did. And you'll find that newness and going to those new places and seeking those new things. And sometimes you get a little bit of glory, get a little bit of high and mighty, and says, look what I did. Sounds like he had a lot to say about that. Notice there he ended up with Naaman, he called the place. Samson named the place. He even named the place. You'll find the holy places in the Scripture were named by God, not man. When God named a place holy, it was a holy place. Samson, that Ramath Lehi stands for Jawbone Heights. And in my opinion, it feels a little bit like that was a little bit of a low point in Samson's life. Or the beginning of some very low points in Samson's life. But he named the place Jawbone Heights. You find a lot of times when people think they're topping high cotton and they've somehow achieved and it becomes I, and look at the new. You better be careful. Because that's oftentimes where the downfall begins to start. That's where a lot of churches start to get sideways, is when it becomes more about the man behind the pulpit than the man in the book. When it becomes more about I, becomes more about the name on the ministry than it does the ministry. When it becomes more about numbers, when it becomes more about what we've done than what God did, be careful. Be careful about that new ground and the new way of taking glory, taking God's glory. It's got to be more about Him and less about us. When I gets in the way, you better watch out. When it becomes more about I, me, you than God, it's dangerous ground. It's dangerous ground. That goes for our daily walk. That goes for a body of believers. That goes for the church. I is a dangerous place. You know, I think about it. I mentioned it earlier. I think about ministries named after individuals. It disturbs me. It disturbs me. I think of one in particular that I will not name. Cut their teeth in independent Baptist churches. I mean, just could preach and really still can preach. But the ministry's named after them. And you see a slow turn. It hadn't happened overnight, and it's not been immediate, but you see a slow turn. First thing that happens, standard of dress begins to change. Next thing that happens, the music begins to change. Next things that happen, you see the smoke and the lights. Next thing, slowly but surely, it becomes the newness. And what happens? It begins to look more like the new and less like the old. And there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. But when it starts to look less and less like this, you often find that it's because it's become more and more like I and less like Him. And that leads to a falling away. It leads to a stepping away. You find that when it becomes more about I, and we start naming things and we start calling places high places. High places. I thought about the Catholic Church. Dear brother, saved out of Catholicism. Raised in it. Didn't know any better until he heard the gospel and got saved. And I said this morning, I have some friends that are Catholic, people that I love, and I love them all, right? We ought to love them. We ought to want to see them saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But you'll find there in the fact they name the high places. They put their labels on the high places and the Vatican and everything that's associated with it's about the buildings. It's about the ornate. When it becomes more about the building and less about God, that's a problem. It's a problem. So you see the new name that He gave a place associated with something that I did, He did. He gave it a new name. I want you to notice here that also came a new dryness. He said there, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst into the hand of the uncircumcised? You know, things got dry pretty quickly when it became more about him and less about God. He got thirsty real quick. Real quick. And I really believe it was because of some new things that he was seeking. I'm here to tell you, it blessed me to see y'all in church this morning with all those youngins sitting on that pew. And this papa right here, you couldn't wipe the smile off his face. There's not a new place you need to be. You're right where you need to be. In the house of God, where the Word of God can be preached to these youngins. They can sit in Sunday school. You don't need a new way. This way works. And it works in this Word. Keep those youngins, that youngin that's on the way, put it in the house of God and stay there. That's the only way it'll work. That's the only way it'll work. Don't search a new way. It doesn't have to be a new way. You don't need the new ways. It's the old ways been established. It's been established from the foundation of the world. We don't need a new way. We don't need a ministry named after me. You don't need a ministry named after you. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. The new things. We don't need any new things. And then I'll close with this. In chapter number 16, you see the new women that came into His life. There in verse number 1, He went and He found the harlot, then went Samson. And in here, He had just, number before I go there, let me say this. He got really thirsty, and the Lord said, okay, I'll give you a drink. So the very God that had burnt the new cords, the very God that had carried him even through his lowest points, and the very God that came upon him and he slew the Philistines, he had just got done questioning God, saying, Lord, you're going to let me die? After he had just got done breaking that vow, touching that, what I really believe, for a new jawbone, he had to touch the carcass of a newly dead animal. And here he's questioning God, you're going to let me die? And what did God do? Just like God always does. Just like He does when we come back and He shows us grace and He shows us mercy. And He said, I'll give you a drink. So He gave him a drink. And then what does it say in verse 20? And He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And then what did He do after that? He goes down to Gaza and He finds a harlot. And He went into a harlot. So He finds a new woman there, and then down in verse number 4, we know what happens with Delilah, another new woman in his life. Listen, we don't need the newness. We just need the same Jesus that saved us. Amen. That's all we need. If you lean on Him and seek His face, stay in the house of God, pray, and read your Bible, God will take care of the rest. It's not a complicated formula. That vow that we're not a Nazarite. And yes, we didn't take that Nazarite vow to keep our hair long. And we oughtn't to drink wine. I will say when you join an independent Baptist church, we do so under the church covenant. And that church covenant's backed by the Word of God. And we shouldn't drink. I don't believe in social drinking. I believe in drinking at all. Amen. There's a lot of churches that believe social drinking is acceptable. It's ungodly. And the Word of God tells us it is. So yes, we shouldn't drink, but we didn't take a vow to keep our hair long. We didn't take a vow to not go near a dead body. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, rise, you know, kill and eat. You know, we can eat. You know, we kill and eat. I had a red meat steak on the grill last night. I like to kill a deer every now and then and process that and eat it and all those things. We didn't take that Nazarite vow, but we did take a vow to be consecrated and separated. We don't need a new way. We don't need a new way. New is not always better. New is not always better. Check it all by the Word of God. I'll tell you this. I'll even say this. You get ready to buy a new house, buy a new car, talk to God about it first. New is not always better. You know, I think the older I get, less is more, in my opinion. I mean, I just less is more. I mean, my father-in-law was talking. He said, I don't know that I'd even want to buy a new vehicle nowadays. He said, I don't need these power windows. He said, I just want an old crank window. It's just more to tear up. He said, I don't need these old digital speedometers. He said, just more to tear up. New's not always better. And let God make you new in Him, and you won't need all the newness this world's got. Because the newness that God gives you is all you'll need. He made some, and clearly here, Samson made some decisions that put him in the boat he was in. You go on down over in verse number 16, as news mentioned a couple more times. Verse number 11, he was bound with new ropes. The new things can get you in trouble. Just seek the old path. Walk in the way. We're not looking for a new way of doing things. We're looking for just doing things. Let the Lord make them new. And once the Lord makes you new, you don't need anything else new. Just give it to God and seek the Lord's face. If we got a piano player in here this morning, yes, Miss Baker, if you would, if you'll come, Sister Baker, if you'll come and play.